Okay, we continue. We're in the Shulchan Aruch Siman Resh Mem Gimel Sif Beis in the middle of Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Tes Vav. We're talking about if you have a bathhouse in your own private home. So let's just start again from Tes Vav. We're in the middle of Tes Vav. Let's start again. Beis Dira Hainu, mean to say Shamerchatz, that bathhouse which you want to rent out to non-Jew, Eina Bershus Rav, it's not in the public domain, where everyone knows as a bathhouse. Rather, Rak B'chatzer, it's in his courtyard, Be'echad Mehabayis Dir, so in one of the homes, in a place where you can't see in from Bershus Rav that there is a bathhouse. U'kech, therefore, Emein Rochat Simbo, if there aren't other people who wash there, behold, during the weekdays, Ela Osin Shebabesa, except the people in that house alone, Shari is permitted to rent it out to a non-Jew. The Noshim Achem, because the other people, Lo Yedu, they don't know him, Yeshem Merch, they don't even know it's a bathhouse at all. Those in Shabbat, on those that are in the house, Hayodim, they know about this, a bathhouse. Gamhem Yodim Shishir Len Yodim, he also knows he rents it out to a non-Jew, and he's not a daily laborer. Okay. Aval Kisharochat Zimbo, now we're picking up the new stuff. Aval Kisharochat Zimbo, Gamma Noshim Achem, but if the other people also wash there, even if they only wash in a weekday, only sparse mitzvah plus besides sheisha merchatz is a bathhouse. Vosa merchatz nikra mikvar al shem yisrael, and that bath is already called by the name of the Jew who has the chatzer. Kshir achgach she'asha niyosin, then you see smoke comes out of it. B'mei Shabbos, they're not going to assume it's just from your stove, right? Yiklu the vishlichas hisugas, they'll assume that it's lit because the non-Jew did it at the behest of the Jewish owner. That's why it's a problem if others know about. Because then when we say this is permitted to rent it to this non-Jew when no one else is washing there, Keshuba based here, so it's when it's in his home. But if it's standing in a Rishus HaRabim, where this can see, everyone knows there's a Merchatz there. So even if only people were using it, are the people in the house, you can't rent it out. Everyone knows there's a bathhouse there. Not everybody knows that she's skier lady who did they rent it to a non-Jew. That's what many achronim write. Fine. Okay. However, where am I now? Those who are more lenient, Dimhu, if that bathhouse, Omid Bershus Acher, Bifneatz, Moshlobachis, let's say this bathhouse is in its own Rishus, without a chutzer. In other words, the Jew owns this Merchatz, but the bathhouse happens to not be in his home, it's in another private domain. Then, and now you're renting it out to the non Jew. The Nazafila Rochensib, even if others use it, that they're not people of your chutz, of that chutz, or afilachash, it's allowed. Why? The mistama ain't call yorim shul. Not everyone's going to think it's his because the bathhouse is not in his house. Rak osin hashchenim shalom erchatz. Only the neighbors of that bathhouse, which are Jews, mistama and his family, they probably know what's going on. Gamasesh eskilin, they rent it out to a non-Jew. Okay, tezayin. Okay, now the question is, what if you transgressed and you rented it out in a place we weren't allowed to? Could you keep the money or not? So, first opinion, Tezayin Yeshem, ring that those who say, Shishchar Mutter, the money maker is okay. And others say not. The Achronim Iskimu, the Achronim agree with the Lo Pligi, that they really, even though they were brought as two opinions, as Rab Nutroi Gon, and the Mordechai, but really says they don't argue. Rather, everybody says, Debamakam de Mutar, where you may rent out, Medina, according to the law. Remember, he said there's the law, and then there's the rabbinic problem of Marasai. So, let's say you rented it out to a goy. Well, then Medina, it's okay. But the problem is, Jews are going to think it was, you had him do it. So, if the din is you could have done it, go and shehiskar merchas and Yehudi. You rented out to a non Jew. Lishon for a year, Lachosh for a month. Dimishum schir Shabbos lecha. There's no problem of you paying him to work for you. Delohu behavla. It's all included in the overall price. Vein also the only problem is only shu maris ayin and iskelel. It's only problem of maris ayin, as we said in Sif Aleph. Okay, therefore, b'diyevet, after the fact, you only went against the rabbinic aspect, but in essence, you didn't do anything wrong. Then mutar l'kabel haskar, meaning you can get the money from the non-Jew. But if what if you rented it out for days? Every day you're renting it out to him. Then that's medina also. Then you're not allowed to do that according to the law. Mishum schar Shabbos. You're not allowed to take payment for Shabbos rentals. Even though the non-Jew brings it on his own initiative, us l'kalimenu, you can't take the money from him, as the Ramah says in Sim, as it says in Sim Reish Memhei Sivav. And look over there what it says in Mishabruah. Yamalacha mutalas al Yisrael. What if the work of heating up the bathhouse is really the Jewish person's work, and the non-Jew does it for him? Then look in Sim and Reish Memhei that that's usher. Even if he takes, you can't do that because he's mamish doing it for him as his shliach. Okay, there is a piece of tshuva here. I thought there was. Oh, no. Here it is. Now, if it was in a way where you were not allowed to do it, and you did it, that's everyone agrees. It's not a din, you weren't allowed to do it, so you can't take the money. So this prohibition is a prohibition forever. In other words, he can never get the money, not today, not tomorrow, for this day's work of Shabbos. Doesn't matter if the profit is money, doesn't matter if the profit is fruits from the work, it's a field. And also, you can't even give that money to somebody else, like your children or to tzedakah. So let's say like this. The goy gives you the money, and you did it wrong. So you go to the rabbi. The rabbi says, sir, you're not allowed to have it. So what do you do with it, basically?
You have to give it back to the goy.
Either give it back to the goy, or,
if you want me to, you can.
Or just throw it in the ocean.
Throw
it away. Because... Or, if you give the money to tzedakah in a way that nobody knows you gave it, and you get no pleasure in it, and you get no gratitude, then you could do it too. In other words, even if I gave it to tzedakah, I benefit from it. To go, oh, Mr. So-and-so, you gave us such a nice donation. Thank you so much.
No recognition. That's it.
You can't benefit from this money. So, even if
giving
it...
No tzedakah would want money that was earned illegally.
You know what? I don't know about that.
Half the time, wouldn't anyway.
You know, it's people would find ways to be lenient. They'd say, well, the money he's giving me, that's not really from Shabbos, that's from the other 6 days of the week. You know, it's not so simple. Anyway, it's forever usher. Okay? You can't give the... Okay. The poskim write also... The poskim discuss if there's a reason to be lenient, if there's great loss. And even if you're going to be lenient... it should still be with some kind of havlah, incorporating into some weekday work that you're getting paid for as well.
Meaning to keep it.
In order for you to keep it, we'd have to work on that. And the reason that, now the question is, how is this different than other malachas? Let's say a non-Jew does something for you. We only, let's say he cooked some food for you. What do we say? You can eat it, but only have to wait after Shabbos, the time it takes for him to cook it. So why don't we have something similar to that? Like say, okay, it's also for a certain amount of time. Why is it forever? So the answer is profits. It's every day is a profit. And you're always getting a profit. You're benefiting from the profit of Shabbos. If we make you wait, you didn't benefit from what the goy did. The goy took an hour to do something for you. And we say you got to wait an hour, so you didn't gain from what he did. But money isn't gaining time, it's gaining money. So you can't, you have to ungain the time, you have to ungain the money. So the only way to ungain it is by not having it. So that's the inyan there. Okay, so now let's just go through in this sefer here to see if he has anything to add. So he talks about okay, if the non-Jew is hired on a per diem basis, that means every day, right? It's working for you. Then the non-Jew's performance of managerial responsibilities on behalf of the Jew's business are equivalent to any amira la'akum. That means you're telling the Jew going to do it. In which the Jew is asking the non-Jew to perform a Shabbos restriction for him, which is not allowed. So that's clear. If he paid on a daily basis, operating the business through the management of a non-Jew, now that's in and of amira la'akum. Then the marasayin, same thing. It's forbidden even the non-Jew is employed on a commission basis. Thereby, you don't have a problem with amira la'akum. Let's say he's paid just on commission, which he could theoretically do that for you on Shabbos, because he's working for himself, right? Because of the fact of marasayin, marasayin exists because any such arrangement never lends itself to the appearance of a forbidden schiris, since generally how business arrangements are made. In other words, you usually pay him per diem. People won't know that, so that's the marasayin. One must conclude that for most practical purposes, it is impossible to keep a Jewish-owned business functioning permissibly on Shabbos, because there is at the very least the presence of Maris Ayin prohibition when a Jewish-owned business is operated by a non-Jew on Shabbos, regardless of how their employment agreement was made. Okay, but again, there are exceptions.
In the Jewish area.
Yes, that's part. That's part of that. Jewish partnership. In instances where a Jew and non-Jew are partners in a business, allowing the non-Jew to run the business on Shabbos is similarly forbidden, because each party to the partnership is responsible to the other. The non-Jew's work on Shabbos would be directly on behalf of his Jewish co-owner, which would be, of course, the equivalent of telling a non-Jew to work for you. Arranging to alternate exclusive work days, meaning that the Jew non-Jew would be assigned Shabbos for all work and income accrual, while the Jew would be assigned Sunday, would not provide a viable halachic solution, because the non-Jew is still technically responsible to the partnership owned by the Jew and vice versa. The alternate day income arrangement is merely a repayment for the services rendered. In summary, as long as there's a legal partnership, any malacha or Shabbos prohibition that the non-Jew does for the business is tantamount to him performing on the behest of his Jewish partner, even if the non-Jew retains all of these profits and is therefore a form of amir lakum. Moreover, the business employs hourly workers who are paid from the business's general account. The work of the non-Jewish employee is equivalent to amir lakum on behalf of the Jewish co-owner. There are contractual arrangements which can be used to solve the halachic problems facing business partners of this sort. However, this requires a careful guidance of halachic authority. So there's ways, but it's complicated. It is, of course, perfectly permitted to rent a house or building to a non-Jew on an annual or monthly, but not daily basis. Even the non-Jew will almost certainly do malach in the house. This does not even remotely conflict with the laws of Miriam Akum. Okay, that's good. Examples. A Jewish-owned house or apartment may be rented to a non-Jew, even though the non-Jew still certainly is doing malacha. A Jew may rent a building, a grocery store, a repair shop to a non-Jew, even though the non-Jew will conduct this. But you could sell it, can rent it, because we know that's how it happens. However, for example, if a Jewish mechanic owns a garage and wishes to go on vacation for weeks in the summer, he may not sublet his business to a non-Jew who will operate on Shabbos, because this gives the appearance of a Jewish business function on Shabbos. Similarly, a grocery store delivery truck with a Jewish company sign, logo, or symbol on it is forbidden, because the operation of the store or truck on Shabbos create an inescapable perception that Jewish business is running on Shabbos. Okay, one other thing here, which we'll have to leave for tomorrow. So remind me, just one other thing. Leasing equipment and automobiles to non-Jews over Shabbos. We can talk about that.